the Roman Empire asks, what do you think about giants?
They're big? I don't know.
Of the Sharpie Report. I am your host, Sam Johnston. We are found at YouTube, iTunes, Blog Talk, and you can follow me on Twitter at Sam T. Johnston. Welcome again to this very highly pirated episode of the Sharpie Report. And it's pirated because we are joined by the one and only Mark Taylor. And if you are ever trying to search videos on Mark Taylor, you will find them from decades ago claiming that they're brand new. This one is actually brand new if you're actually watching it on the Sharpener Report channel. So if you're watching anywhere else, leave a downvote and come over to the Sharpener Report and come watch it there, because I want you to. That's really why. But anyway, we are going to be talking about all sorts of wonderful things, like the Supreme Court, like the oil, like an important movie coming up. But without further ado, Mr. Mark Taylor, how are you doing today?
Thank you for having me, Sam. It's an honor to be back, brother.
Oh, it's great to have you. And I know there is an itching question on everyone's mind. You have been on the Sharpener Report a couple times, and you have a movie coming up. Is the Sharpener Report interview going to make it into the movie?
I don't know if it's going to make it into the movie, because I haven't even seen the movie yet. So it wasn't in the script, I'll say that.
Dang,
let's put it that way. That's the only thing I've seen.
All right. Fair enough. Anyway, so let's kind of dive into a couple different topics here. Obviously, a huge thing that happened recently in the news. By the way, we are recording this on, I don't even know what the date is, July 14th. It's going to be posted on the next Friday, July something, 20-something. I don't know what the dates are. I should have looked at that before. But anyone, if you're watching this at a different time, you'll know the truth. But anyway, obviously the Supreme Court is just had this big turnover with Kennedy retiring. And you prophesied that, actually.
Yes. You know, it was back in, right before Donald Trump was the election was taking place. The Lord had told me that five would be replaced. He originally told me three. And then the Lord started dealing with me on it. And he said, no, Mark, now it's going to be five. And he said, one's going to die, one's going to retire, and three would be caught in a scandal. Now, it was about 3 months after that Scalia died. Now, you had, right after that, you had this national panic that was taking place, because we both know he was murdered, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both know that took place. And they were trying to remove a judge so that Obama could have an appointment before he left office, just in case something went south. And boy, did it go south, a little more than they thought it was. So anyhow, Scalia died, and then the Lord gave two signs at Scalia's funeral that he would that Obama would not get the chance to appoint another one before he left office, that this was being reserved for Donald Trump. And I prophesied that. I came out with a written prophecy that said, no, another judge will not be appointed until Donald Trump gets in office. So the day that Donald Trump got confirmed, that part of the prophecy came to pass. Now, in the prophecy, it talked about, well, one would retire and one would, three would be caught in some type of a scandal. But what's happening is that the Lord is when they get removed, basically, or when he appoints these five, what the timing of this is, I do not know. And what the scandal is, I don't know. But the Lord said that Roe versus Wade would be overturned. Now, I want people to be patient. They've got to be patient. It's just like we have this new justice fixing to get confirmed, hopefully. Prayerfully, that he will be confirmed. This may not be the time to go after Roe versus Wade. So timing is everything. It may be that the Lord's waiting. We need two or three more judges in order to go after it. That way it's done, over with. You know what I mean? It comes up and it's easy to get pushed through, whatever the case may be, legally. So there's a timing issue. So people just need to be patient, be prayerful, and be praying about that. Now, the other thing we need to be praying for is that we need to be praying, especially when we get into some of the corruption and the arrests that are coming, is that we need to be praying for the civil unrest to hold that stuff at bay. I've been saying this for the last year and a half, that the Lord was showing me there's going to be some civil unrest with some of this stuff. So, you know, right now, when Kennedy retired, he was the swing vote. And so we removed the swing vote and we're replacing it with someone who's a little more conservative than what Kennedy is. So it is a big deal and it isn't a big deal. But even CNN had a headline out on there when they had a guest on there, said that Roe versus Wade is done. So they even know where Roe versus Wade is fixing to get overturned at some point. So, you know, God was showing me that the court is not being moved left or right. He's moving it to righteousness. That's where God's moving the court right now. And then the other thing I want to tell people is to be careful with here is that even though God said that there would be a scandal that three would be caught up in, now you have to realize this, is that look for these people to possibly retire. If we remove three Supreme Court justices at the same time in a scandal, now they may do this that way, I don't know, but look for them to retire. There may be forced retirement. We may not hear of a scandal because, again, it will look like there's a dictatorship in, so it could be disguised under the fact that they're retiring, so to speak. But there will be a scandal that has they've gone to them and said, hey, look, you guys either retire or you're going to get indicted. Simple as that. Now, again, I don't know that to be the fact. There's a lot of ways this could play out. So, again, I know what people are going to say. They're going to say, oh, these guys retired. You know, you said they were going to get caught in a scandal. There's no such thing. No, we may not hear about it. That's the whole thing about this because, again, you remove three Supreme Court justices, and if those three Supreme Court justices are hardcore liberals, look out. Because that could easily start huge civil unrest. So that could be something they're just trying to avoid. So that's pretty much all I've got on the Supreme Court for that fact right there.
Yeah, it's well, and you kind of mentioned something at the end that I think everyone is assuming that it could be three liberal judges getting kicked off, and it wouldn't surprise me because we often get caught stuck in this right and left dichotomy right so good and left so bad. But like you said, in reality, it's not moving it right or left; it's just moving it towards righteousness. So we could see the. A little bit on both sides, which I think that would help with the civil unrest a little bit. It might calm some people down if not all three liberals get kicked off.
You know, and the other thing too is that, you know, with the appointment of Kavanaugh, you know, there are some Christians that are concerned. There's people that said they were disappointed, that it wasn't more hardcore conservative. Well, there's a bigger plan at play here. And you have to understand this is like a chess game. Okay. Donald Trump is not stupid by any means of the stretch of imagination. This man's a genius. And he knows how to play the game. I know one of the things I was reading the other day, and it rang true with me when I read this, is that he's wanting to protect the Second Amendment. And Kavanaugh is hardcore Second Amendment, period. So right now, they know that they want the guns protected because they're going after the guns hard right now. And so that's one of the things I think that he's choosing him for, so, to protect the guns. But he's also a little bit more conservative than what Kennedy was. So I think all good things are coming, you know what I mean? And I think at some point he will probably appoint a woman Supreme Court justice because there is corruption on that Supreme Court. Trust me when I tell you that. There is corruption on that Supreme Court, and some of that corruption has to do with female justices. So that might be why he also will appoint a female justice, because one or two of them could possibly get removed. Who knows? And we could have see a conservative justice get removed. Because this is what I've been saying all along, Sam, is that, you know, the corruption in this country, this is not about Democrat and Republican anymore. Those days are over, period. We've got as many corrupt Republicans just about as much as we do Democrats. This is about globalism versus patriotism. This is about light versus dark. This is about the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. So that's what you're seeing taking place at this point.
Yeah, and I agree, definitely. It's like the further we get into this battle and the light starts to shine on things and people are like, oh, we're finally gaining ground. We're finally getting our world, taking our country back. It's like the things that we hated before, like the Nobel Peace Prize, like when Obama won it, everyone's like, oh, now it doesn't mean anything. I don't care about it. Who cares? But now that Donald Trump's like promoted getting almost in the running for the Nobel Peace Prize, be like, oh, it's a good thing now. It's like, it's still a part of this world that we need to get away from. It doesn't, just because it's on your side now, doesn't mean that you want to forget about the corruption involved. And so I look forward to us breaking free more from that. And as things progress, like I remember when I first read the prophecy of Roe versus Wade and getting to overturn, I was like, man, that's bold, because that's a huge decision that's going to take a lot to overcome. And then all of a sudden it's all over the news. And that is such a huge thing, because you talked about how it's like how the abortions in our country are feeding the dark forces in our that right. are against us.
Yeah, and let me touch on that for a second. That's a good point you bring up, is that, you know, this whole stigma or whatever you want to call it about, you know, Democrats, and you've even got some pro-choice Republicans, man. You know, this stigma about it's a women's right to choose, or it's about a woman's health. That is such garbage, man. That is straight out of the pits of hell. I mean, they don't care anything about your right to choose. They don't care anything about a woman's health. They care about one thing and one thing only. And if someone's out there about to have an abortion, please listen to me on this. You are being deceived. You're being duped by these people who are telling you it's about a woman's right to choose, or it's about your health. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with them wanting you to abort that child, because that child is a sacrifice unto their God called Baal every time you have an abortion. Now, I've had people slam me for this, saying, well, you're saying this child's going to hell. No. That baby goes straight into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, period. But when you do it physically here on earth, it is a sacrifice, period, when you do that to that God called Baal, so to speak. Baal is the strong man over America. He's the second in command on Satan's triune. And so just like in biblical times, it talked about the Baal sacrifice, the child sacrifice to Baal. That is the food source, Sam, by which empowers that entity called Baal. And they know that when Roe versus Wade overturned on a national level, because once we break that on a national level, it will drop down to the states. But on a national level, that food source is gone, man. Mm-hmm. It is broken, period. And I think you will see tremendous things begin to take place over this nation when that is broken. Because you got to remember, when America sneezes, everybody catches cold. You know what I mean? That's the old saying. So whatever happens in America, it will go global. They will begin to follow. You're seeing it taking place with other things that we're doing right now. So that's an important issue right there, that Roe versus Wade. And this is why the Satanists, the Luciferians, are fighting so hard right now against us. They're kicking and screaming because they see that food source fixing to dry up.
Yeah, it's definitely – I think that is one of a huge turning point in the future, is if/when we can get that overturned, we are going to be able to really start to move our spiritual forces and start taking over places at a quicker rate, more exponentially, starting to improve things. And there's so much darkness that is constantly being put up against us. And whether it's the media being, you know, the fear tactics or this deception, it's such a battle. And people were coming into Donald Trump being elected saying it's a reprieve, and oh, we finally get a breath of fresh air. And it's like, no, like we have to double down and really dig into it.
Right now is not a time to lay down your weapons of warfare. I've said that time and time again. I'll give you, for instance, I've had three hit pieces put out on me by the news media in 2 weeks. And one of them was so bad, this guy, this liberal was telling me, he lumped me in with Mark Levin and Sean Hannity. I said that I needed to be arrested for sedition. So, they're coming after me hard. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do probably with the movie. A lot of it has to do with some other stuff that I've been prophesying, and they're probably seeing some of this stuff come to pass and are not real happy about it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't help that. Their problem's not with me. Their problem's with God. He's the one speaking it, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but people have to understand something. This is a battle between light and dark. And my motto is get off your behind and get on the front line. If you're sitting in your chair, in your recliner, and you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs, and you've got this escapism mentality, that's not going to cut it, folks. We need every soldier we can get on the front line right now. We want to take ground and hold it for the kingdom of God, and you can't do it by sitting there with the escapism mentality. That is one of the biggest – and Kim Clement said this all the time. The escapism mentality is one of the biggest killers to destiny there is, and he was right. And so when you do that, though, I'll take it one step farther. When you sit there and you have the escapism mentality – oh, Lord Jesus, things are just so bad. I'm just going to sit here for the next 2-3 years, and I'm going to ride this thing out. You know what I mean? When you do that, you are no longer aiding the kingdom of God. You are aiding the kingdom of darkness. You are committing spiritual treason, period. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. And what God is saying right now, you are either for me or against me. So either get in this fight or step aside, because I don't know what to tell you. Because, I mean, again, we need everyone we can get in this fight right now.
Yeah, it's deciding that you're not going to choose to be involved is your choice. Definitely. Absolutely. And speaking of which, I would like to shout out and say hello to the Right Wing Watch, who always loves to watch my this interview when you come on the show. So I just want to say hello. I'm praying for you. Even though you hate us, I hope that things are going well. And I hope you find Jesus someday. But
That's who's attacked me twice in 2 weeks. Yeah. They've attacked me twice, and I had a separate one put out on me by someone else. So
yeah, well, we'll just pray for him. But so you did mention your movie coming out. So I do want to touch on that because it is I want your opinion on it because obviously it's an easy thing to attack. It's like, okay, so I guess the first question is, why are you making a movie out of it?
Well, I was approached by a producer who's done a lot of Christian movies. He's done some other secular movies as well. He's a Christian. His producer, his name is Rick Eldridge. And he approached me and my co-author and wanted to know if we were interested in doing a movie because he liked what was in the book. He wanted to tell the story of what the Trump Prophecies book was all about. How it basically, you know, I had got this prophetic word about the commander in chief, you know, Donald Trump back in 2011, and how it led into a prayer movement and how it led into a miracle by God, basically, you know, for Donald Trump becoming the president of the United States. So they started filming the movie. The movie comes out October 2nd and 4th of this year. It's a Fathom event. It's called the Trump Prophecy Movie. Or they can go to the TrumpProphecyMovie.com and they can look it up that way. And it's a Fathom event. They go to Fathom Events, type in their zip code, and they can see which movies is playing or which theaters is playing at in their area. It's in about 1,200 theaters right now. If we sell out, I've been told that they probably will expand that that and the days number of days that it'll be shown. But it is not without controversy. I had warned them.
Wow,
in the beginning.
Really? Didn't know
yes,
that.
You know, they started filming it, and where they were filming it, the students started protesting it, trying to get signatures, you know, saying they didn't want to be a part of it. It's you know, there's going to be a whole lot more than that probably coming that way because, you know, they don't even know what the movie's about. They just know it's got the word Trump in it. you know what I mean? I have not even seen the movie yet. Mm-hmm. I've just read a little bit of the script, and I had to, as far as the technical advice, you know, get the fireside right. But one of the things I want to also point out about the movie that I want to bring to light a little bit here, if you don't mind, mm-hmm. is, you know, we talk about our military and our law enforcement, which we love and respect and support 100%. You know, we love them. You know, but you hear a lot of that on the news about them. But what you don't hear a lot about is our firefighters. And one of the things this movie is going to point out is what firefighters go through on a daily basis, whether it's on the job or off the job, and the PTSD that they have to deal with. And that right now, what people don't know is that the PTSD in the fire service is beginning to rival that of the military. Mm. The suicide rate of the firefighters is beginning to rival that of the military. So I think some people are going to get their eyes open as to what firefighters actually go through on the job and at home. And if I can be a voice for those guys that don't have one, then hey, so be it. That's what this is all about, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think there's going to be a lot to this movie. I think it's going to be it's a very patriotic movie. So you know, come see it. I think you're going to get encouraged, you know, it'll be about 30 days before the midterms as well. So
yeah, it's definitely good timing, and it's you can see the trailer now. Everyone, definitely go check out the trailer for the movie.
Yep.
You definitely get the vibe that you're going to be talking about the hardships that the firefighters face. As you have gone more into this aspect of your life, has the firefighter part of your life? How are those two coexisting?
As far as me was a firefighter, and now I'm moving
into
kind
of ministry aspect. Do you still deal with the difficulties of the firefighter life today, or is that behind you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I still deal. I was at a station. We turned 12,000 calls a year. I was down in the ghettos in Orlando, and we ran cuttings, shootings, stabbings, and people don't realize we run all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we see all that stuff on a daily basis. You know, on a day, I literally counted them. I had 6 cuttings, a couple shootings, a couple stabbings in one shift. That's not wow. including cardiacs, car wrecks, fires, or anything else that we run. So, I mean, you know, eventually that stuff begins to take a toll on you after time like that, and years after of that stuff. So, you know, I still deal with it a little bit. You know, I'm still, like, my health's not quite 100%. You know, I'm still about 80%, you know, 85% somewhere in there. Still dealing with a couple of issues, but, mm-hmm. you know, God's getting me through it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that was part of my testimony, and people can go back to previous shows we've done where they've heard my testimony. So
yeah, definitely. What lessons did you learn as a firefighter that have helped you through the process of the book and now through the process of creating the movie?
You know, I probably one of the biggest things is unity, because there is a brotherhood in the fire service. I mean, you're always going to have issues in any job you go to. The fire service has got its fair share of issues, but for the most part, it showed unity. And, you know, as an I retired as a lieutenant, and one of my biggest things was building a team. I built many teams over the years in my career. And maybe that's part of the reason God chose me to help, you know, with the army of God. I don't know. I really don't know why God chose me. I'll find out when I get in front of him in eternity. But you know, the biggest thing I try to push is the unity, because that's the whole thing. We're not always going to agree on everything. You know what I mean? We're going to have disagreements. But the point is you walk away from the table lovingly agreeing to disagree, but we're still the same common goal. And that's to take ground for the kingdom and hold it at all costs. We can still do that and disagree on something. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people, I use this analogy. If I'm in a foxhole in a firefight, do you really think I care what you think about, or vice versa? If I got bullets flying at me, all I care about is you have a weapon you're shooting back. It's the same way with fighting fire. I don't care what your personal beliefs are or your spiritual beliefs are. If I got fire rolling over my head, all I care about is you're going to stick in there with me and not turn tail and run when it counts the most. So it's the same way with the army of God, you know? That's the biggest thing is unity, 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 and it's teamwork. Mm-hmm. It's not about Sam Johnson. It's not about Mark Taylor. This is about the army of God. And when people start getting that concept that maybe, you know, we talked about this a little bit in the pre-interview, when you start getting the concept of the team concept this is not about me. I may have to make a decision that affects me negatively, but it affects the team positively. And it's all about the team, the team, the team. And when they start doing that is when you'll start seeing unity. Mm-hmm. And when we start flowing in unity, we're unstoppable.
Well, I guess I'll forgive you for not putting the Sharpen Report interview in your movie then, if it's all about the team.
Absolutely.
But I agree. You know, obviously it's about unity. I think we're seeing, I think you are seeing that trend grow too, of more people just searching after truth, even when it comes to the not necessarily Christian discussions, just the overarching growing of podcasts, the longer, long form interview becoming more and more popular. They're just talking about different ideas, even though they disagree. You have the mainstream rise of the intellectual dark web, with those guys kind of just talking about and disagreeing on a ton of different things, which is like a little out there, I guess, for our show. But that idea of being able to just talk about different ideas and really search the truth, and you are seeing the dying down of the fear mongering, and the what gets clicks is no longer, the world's going to end right now. It's more of, all right, this is what's going on, and this is how we step up and take it back, and this is how we actually battle.
The doom and gloom. Doom and gloom is no longer doing that now. It's the positive message that, you know, look, we got good things ahead of us, period. That's the bottom line. And, you know, I've got people that blast me for saying that all the time. You know, America's under judgment. America's going to end. You know, it's doomed. No, guys, we have good things that are coming. We're already seeing that in action, that God's already putting in action what he spoke was coming. But that doesn't mean to say that bad things are not going to happen in the meantime, in the process of all of that. So, but that doesn't mean that it's judgment. What it is that we have a real enemy that we are facing right now. The deep state, the cabal, the Satanists, the Luciferians, whatever you want to call them, they're all working for the same team. And you can subcategorize them however you want. I say keep it the KISS theory. You're all part of the kingdom of darkness. And they're kicking, they're screaming. And we are having an effect on them like never before right now. This is probably one of the largest spiritual battles since the death and resurrection of the Lord himself. But it's also a rescue mission. And this is what people have to realize. This is a rescue mission. You know, if you have that escapism mentality and you're sitting there praying, you know, oh, Lord, I just wish you'd come back. Things are so terrible. Well, how about those guys out there that haven't been saved yet? It's our job. This is why I have a firefighter's mentality. This is what I try to instill in people. You have to have a rescue mentality to go out and get these people. It's our job to go get them. God's wanting to do something right now on the earth. This is why I believe we have been gifted with a measure of grace and mercy right now, of time to go get them. And you can't do it by sitting on your recliner, twiddling your thumbs, worrying about when this is going to happen, when that's going to happen. Stop worrying about it. Jesus said to literally occupy till he comes, and you can't do it by doing nothing. But this is a rescue mission, so get the rescue mentality.
Yeah, and it's even more frustrating is when you see when you see people pushing, like, they're just like, they make things to intentionally divide people and be divisive, and you see like memes all over the internet of just like really poor arguments just to trigger people and make them upset, and right. Media saying, oh, every single person on the left is evil and has bad intentions, and then you see the other side of the media saying everyone on the right is evil and has bad intentions. It's like, no, we have to start thinking about it differently. Like, they're people. We have to go out and rescue them. We have to be able to reach across whatever differences you have and understand that we have to fight for one common goal, that Jesus is Lord, and that we want him to be the one in control over our country. And just this idea of saying, oh, you know, libertards are wrong all the time, it's not helpful. It's just gonna further push you further away from the people on the other side, who are in large part very good people. A lot of them are just deceived on certain topics, and that's why we joke about, you know, it was kind of a joke, but in reality, when people like the right wing watch, they try to get, you know, go after us or write nasty things. It's like, I just feel bad for them, because I want them to have the love of Christ and I want them to have that peace inside of them, and they just don't if they're writing hateful articles like that.
Right, right. You know, and the bottom line is this: is we're not going to be able to save all of them. But that's not up to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to the Lord to decide. He's the judge. You know, our job is to go in and effect a rescue. If I go into a house fire or an apartment fire and I walk in and I dive in a window, or I'm diving in the front door, you know what I mean? And I've got one room left and I'm searching. I'm searching like crazy, looking for a baby or looking for an adult, whatever the case may be. Again, I don't care. I don't care what your color is. I don't care what your creed is. I don't care if you're homosexual. I don't care if you're transgender. I don't care who you are. It is my job to go in and put my life on the line for that person right there. That's what I sign up for, mm-hmm. period. And it's the same way with the army of God. And the army of God, or the army of God has usually got this. They're more mature. It's the body of Christ you have to worry about, because they're two different things. So it's the body of Christ that wants to go on the attack all the time. Attack, attack, attack. It's like, look, you've got to stop attacking and go into the rescue mode. You know, so I go in, I'm going to rescue that person. Let me show you. I'll give you another analogy just so they understand what this looks like. If I roll up to a house fire as a lieutenant and I got the family outside and I got fire blowing out of about 3/4 of this house, the family's screaming, there's somebody inside. If I walk up, and this is what most churches do, this is what they mostly do, because when you attack one person in a family in a church, you're attacking the entire family, and you get whole families that leave the church because you've just attacked them for no reason. So if I roll up and I see all this fire blowing out, the family's screaming, our kid's inside, and I walk up as a lieutenant and I say, do you believe in pre, post, or mid? Do you believe that this is going to happen in the book of Revelations? Or do you believe this? And they say, no, I'm sorry, but I can't save your child. I can't help you right now. Brother, that is literally what you're saying to these people. Because I'm sorry, I can't help you because you don't believe the same way I do. You don't have the same theology that I do. So now they take an offense, they go on the attack, and these people are wounded and hurt, and they leave. That's exactly what happens. And now that person's left to burn to death, literally. So there's no salvation, there's no deliverance if you were going to deliver that person. Versus if I walk up there in the front yard, I don't care who they are. I don't care what they are. I'm going in, mm-hmm. period. Greater love has no man than he has that he laid down his life for his brother. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that's what I'm doing. I'm going in, period. I don't care. That's the mentality the church, the body of Christ, needs to have.
Yeah. And it's different than, like, because those topics, they're good to talk about. They promote good discussion. If you have an honest communication, like, those things are good to talk about. No matter what, all political issues, all, you know, theological issues, they're good to talk about, but they're not what you want to have your foundation on. Your foundation is the love of Christ and being able to reach out to people. And on this show, we talk about all sorts of different ideas. That's good to talk about them, but the purpose is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what you're saying, is we're going to put our differences aside and actually reach them, for sure.
Right, and it's that whole thing where we can lovingly agree to disagree, but still have a common goal, and mm-hmm. that's taking that ground.
Yeah. All right, so we got, man, we're already half an hour into it. all right, so just so everyone knows, I always post on who's coming on the show beforehand, and if you want to know who's going to come on the show, well, you have to subscribe and stuff like that. But remember to subscribe to the Sharpener Report and not the fake channel that you're watching it on right now, because you want to watch it on the Sharpener Report. Anyway, so I have a ton of questions, because even though you get attacked by the mainstream, you have a lot of people that really love what you're doing and really support you, and they're all really excited to have you coming on the show. So I have a list of questions here, and okay. I'm just going to start going through them. If you don't have an answer for them, then that's fine.
I don't have answers for everybody. I don't have all the knowledge and wisdom, but I will do my best for what I can, brother.
All right. Real quick, we'll start with kind of going back to the beginning of this whole thing. And you talked in your testimony often about the encounter that you had, the spiritual encounter that you had that started this off. Right. How do you know that? What have you done to verify that that was a being of God and not a being of Satan? Because obviously the implication is Satan could be showing you these things that are happening to try to deceive the large, like to deceive the public, and Donald Trump is actually a nefarious character.
Right. You test the spirits. Like, I've had visitations from angels. I've had visitations from demons. And I went through John Paul Jackson's ministry, one of his satellite ministries. And one of the first things he taught us was you always test the spirits. So I'll give you, for instance, I was getting visitations almost every morning for about 3 years, 4 years, wow. Some good, some bad. And it wasn't until I figured out where the bad was coming from, and I can go into that in a minute. But the point being is, even because I was doing dream interpretations with his ministry, I was getting certified as a dream interpreter, taking my prophetic stuff through them. And I was even taking my experiences to some really mature dream interpreters and prophetic people, and they could not explain to me what was going on. And so what would happen was I would be laying in the bed, and it was always when my wife got up for work or she left that I would feel something crawl on top of me. I feel the mattress go down, and it would end up into this physical confrontation or something like that in the spirit. And then other times I would feel it would be like these waves coming over me. And then all of a sudden there would be times when I felt electricity coming over me. Well, it took me 2 or 3 years. I learned kind of slow. You know what I mean? I admit it, you know. It took me 2 or 3 years to figure out that the waves were demonic. And then the electricity was from the Holy Spirit. But the point being is that when I could speak and that being was there, this is when it usually always started. Because I would feel something crawl on me or stand next to me or whatever the case may be. And I would say, "Who is the Lord Jesus to you?" And if they didn't speak, look out. Start casting them out. Get rid of them. Or if they start spitting and sputtering, cast them out. Get rid of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was always the ones that when I said, "Who is the Lord Jesus to you?" "He is the Son of the Most High God who died on the cross for the sins of the..." I mean, it was just this glorious answer. Boom. You know, you got yourself, because they can't get all that out. Demons can't speak like that, you know, in favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how I would test the spirits a lot of time whenever I would have a visitation. So always test the spirits.
Mm-hmm. How did you come to the conclusion that waves meant demonic and electricity meant that there were angels?
It took literally 2 or 3 years for me to figure it out, that every time I'd get a wave, because I just had enough of them at that point, I'm like, okay, this is not good. Hmm. You know what I mean? I already know where this is going to end up. So you try casting them out, and then the electricity always ended up being the good guys, so to speak. Hmm. And so, but nobody could tell me that. But, you know, again, everyone's different. So God's going to speak to everyone differently. Now, I think that was a training ground for me as well, because there were times when I would speak to an angel and I would say, "Are you the one that was crawling on top of me?" Or, you know, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And they would say, "Sometimes," you know, something like that. So there was a training phase that I was going through for 10 years, because I was in isolation. They can go back and listen to my testimony some other time.
Right.
For 10 years. So, I mean, some of it was easy and some of it was not easy. So I mean, it was one of those things that God was preparing me.
Hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. All right. So next question. Let's see here. Where do I want to go? So in your prophecy called "The Time Is Up," one of the lines is, "For I shall begin to remove those who stand for evil in leadership and stand in the way of my agenda. Judges, senators, congressmen, and women of all kinds, even in local, state, and federal lines." So the question is in regards to that. It's by Peter DiPietro. He asked that you stated women will see criminal charges. What do you mean specifically about the women in that sentence?
No, what that meant was basically it says congressmen and women of all kinds. What he's talking about, there's congressmen and congresswomen is what that meant.
Okay.
So it's not women, you know, some other woman somewhere. These are those that are in a leadership that God's dealing with. And look what we're seeing right now. You're seeing so much corruption being exposed right now. And that was written, by the way, November 17th, 2015. That was before Donald Trump came into office. So you're seeing all of this taking place right now, literally.
Yeah. Definitely not Mark Taylor hates all women. That's not the conclusion that you're supposed to come to.
No, that was not it. That was congressmen and congresswomen is what that meant.
There you go. All right. So this next question is from Lowlight. It's a question from Sweden, actually. They said that we've heard about an attempt to arrest Pope Francis on June 21st in Geneva. He was supposed to be involved with a top secret black mass called the Circle of Nine or other high ranks of dark clouds of Luciferians. A child sacrifice was supposed to be held there. Thankfully, it was stopped. Has Yahweh told Mark about this? Is there anything that have you heard about or can be revealed about this?
I don't have anything to vet that. Honestly, I heard that exact same thing. I don't know that. That's the problem. Is, you know, we live in a technological age where so much information is flowing, and a lot of it's fake news, and a lot of it is truth. So it's hard to really pin down and vet what's truth. I will say this. One of the articles I did read was that they went into the Vatican and tried to arrest him, but they were stopped by the Vatican police. But the Vatican is kind of a country of its own, if you will. There's no other way to really put it. So they're going to have a hard time arresting him inside the Vatican. If they do arrest him, it's going to have to be outside the Vatican. But I believe at some point that guy's going down.
Yeah, that's what you said. It was one of your most recent prophecies from January,
all roads lead to Rome,
I believe. Yep. Yeah, it was... Yeah, you said many people believe this will be the last pope, but it will be, but not for the reasons that they think it will be.
Right.
Have you got any more revelation on what that means?
Yeah, it just means that they're caught in pedophilia. They're caught in all kinds of stuff. There's going to be so much stuff that's going to come out on the Vatican that is going to be so damaging to these guys. I don't think they're going to be able to recover. Period. I think the Catholics are going to look at this, and this is not an attack on Catholics. All right. So, I mean, because, again, I believe this is going to affect all religions, period. Because, I mean, the Catholics are going to look at this and they're going to be so disgusted by what comes out of this, because the Vatican's behind a lot of stuff globally, bro. Mm-hmm. And what people have to realize, the Pope answers to no one. I don't think people realize that. He answers to no one. No one holds him accountable for anything. No one holds the Vatican accountable hardly for anything. So it's going to take a move of God, if you will, to go in there and hold this guy accountable and hold all those inside the Vatican accountable. And I believe at some point, and it ends up with that archaeological find where it talks about, I've got it right here. It says, the Spirit of God says there is a dig, an archaeological find that is coming in an underground vault, which will be so cataclysmic that it will rock the Christian world. The answer lies between Jerusalem and Vatican City. Now, does that mean that they're going to find something in an underground vault in Vatican City? That I don't know. You know, prophetic words are mysteries. You know what I mean? We don't really know what they are till they come to pass. We think it's one way and it's really another, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I think eventually they're going to get that guy eventually.
Yeah. And even, yeah, that's something that we talked about last week. I had Zev Peratt on. He comes from Israel. He's from Israel, and he basically has ties to the really high ups in the Jewish religion and the Jewish leaders of Israel. And he pointed out how that is very similar to what the Vatican is. A lot of especially the Israeli government and the religious structure is closely tied to just a lot of different corruption, and that we really need to be careful about blindly supporting everything the Israel government and religious leaders does, because they are tied in things like pedophilia and tied in with corruption as well.
Well, I think you're seeing the pedophilia thing. That's a global thing. Mm-hmm. You're seeing, I quote Liz Crokin all the time. Anybody doesn't know who Liz Crokin is, I highly recommend you look her up on Twitter, Facebook. She is a journalist who has never, ever been challenged on a story. And she's been a front runner for Pizzagate and Pedogate, exposing this child sex trafficking, the pedophilia, all this stuff. And, man, the cabal and the deep state cannot stand this lady. She's been threatened. She's been all kinds of stuff. She is I get a lot of my facts from Liz. And, we've had I think the last count, I think, was over 15,000 pedophiles arrested.
Wow.
See, this is stuff you're not hearing on the news. We've had seven ex-presidents arrested globally. There's all wow. kinds of stats she spits out, and when she tells you a stat, you can take it to the bank. There's a lot going on globally right now that you're not hearing about. There's a blackout, a news media blackout on this stuff, but it will eventually come out. There is a huge plan in place right now. We just have to be patient, and these people will be going down. They will be held accountable. People like Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, they're going to go to prison. You know, I've been blasted for saying that. I'll say it again. They're going to prison. And, there's nothing that's going to stop this. These people will be held accountable.
Yeah. Hey, well, I heard Hillary's ramping up for a 2020 run for president. And, man, I am hoping that she does it, because that would be awesome. And it'd be another easy dub for President Trump.
Well, it's going to be hard to do that from Gitmo. So.
Fair enough. All right. So, got the next question. And this is more of a general question from someone's name I don't know how to pronounce. Dockeray is the last name. It says, what else has God put on your heart to encourage the remnant believers? And how do we stay in the fight in the coming days? So kind of, it's more of a general topic. We've touched on some of those things,
right.
But anything else that you really feel like we need to cover?
Yeah. You know, I get that question a lot, actually. You know, how do I get involved? You know, I don't have a church I go to, you know, I want to be a part of the army of God. There's many things you can do, but one of the biggest things you can do right now is get involved in one of these prayer groups that we have. Go to the Strike Force of Prayer, or no, strikeforceofprayer.com, which is Michael Ortega, and he's putting together. He's got a national prayer call that he does once a week, and you can also go to Rockin' the West Coast Prayer Group. I had to get that right, with Melissa Leggett, who's been on this program with me before. She's my head intercessor. These guys are taking incredible ground for the kingdom of God, and Michael's even taken it one step farther, where he's got the national prayer call, the West Coast prayer call, basically, but he's also doing strategic guerrilla warfare groups, where he's getting 6 and 7 people per state to go after and repent and pray for the issues in that state. That way you've got boots on the ground there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through Michael's ministry in order to do that. So I highly recommend that. The strikeforceofprayer.com, and then Rockin' the West Coast Prayer Group. Get involved. That's one way you can get involved. It doesn't cost you a dime to do this stuff. They will even help you set up the call in your own state. It doesn't cost a dime. It's all free. And that's the beautiful thing about this. So that's one way. And look, here's the other thing, too. This is important. When Roe versus Wade is overturned, that's on a national level. It's going to get kicked to the states, which now means each state is going to be responsible for what happens. So if that state is allowing abortion to continue to go on, then you might see some judgment stuff set in. So this is why it's important for people to get off your behind and on the front line and get involved in these prayers with these people, or take your state back. We did an entire video on your channel, basically, because we mm-hmm. can promote that again. Maybe you can put it later in the show as yeah. to where they can see that.
On the Sharpening Report.
On the Sharpening Report. Tell them exactly where that video is at, and where we tell you exactly how to take back your country, how to take back your state, your mm-hmm. city, all that stuff, and we tell you line by line how to do it. So I encourage them to watch that video, get involved in that stuff. That's one huge way that they can take back their country, their state, their town, so forth and so on.
Man, it's that might have been one of the first times I've ever heard someone talk about the next step after we do the next thing. Like, I feel like Christians are so often most of them are on the defensive and just trying to stay in the ground, and there are some out there really attacking, but there's not very many people thinking 3 or 4 steps ahead. So it's
right.
like, once we take down Roe versus Wade, then we have to prepare. We have to have people
yes.
in place already to take over the
states. Already in place. That's right.
Yeah.
Already in place. Here, you know, prayer is when you're addressing God. Warfare is when you're addressing the enemy. So we want to get these boots on the ground in these states, and these little guerrilla warfare type platoons, if you will. 6 or 7 people at the most is all we need in each state, and we can have multiple groups in each state. Doesn't matter. And warfare, again, we're going after the enemy. We want to be doing target-focused repentance, target-focused prayer, get ready, because, again, when it breaks on a national level, it's going to drop to the state. And if we're not prepared, those states are going to accept it and say, no, we're going to continue to do abortions, and look out if they do.
Hmm. Yeah, and that's one one of the inherent qualities that makes being on the light side better, the reason that we're going to win is because we can talk about our plans in the light, because that's what we are. We are the light. The enemy has to try to plan these types of movements underground and in darkness, and less people are going to hear about them, and less people are going to be able to join the darkness fight because they don't know about it. But we are the light, and so we can talk about it in the open to prepare people and get them in the proper places to win that fight. So that's just an inherent quality of being in the light.
Now, what did you just say just a second ago? You said underground, right? Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up, because right now, underground's being exposed as well. The underground child sacrifices, the sex trafficking rings. Where's that stuff taking place at, Sam? Underground, in the tunnels. I mean, literally, all the stuff's being exposed. Look at Jeffrey Epstein Island. They're finding he was spending $18 million to fill in those tunnels. Why? Because they had underground tunnels where they were doing the child sacrifice. They were having a dining room where they had cannibalism going on. It's all going on underground. Now, the Lord showed me something. Why is it going on underground? Because, number one, they don't have any resistance underground. And number two, they're closer to the entities digging down that they're trying to invoke. So now what we have come up with is a strategy to repent, because what happens when you repent? You disarm the enemy. You take away their legal right. So now it helps in your spiritual warfare, not your prayer. That's for God. Warfare of the enemy. So in your warfare toward the enemy, we want to disarm the enemy first, which would be repentance. So we're repenting for what's going on the land, which we've been doing a great job on. Now we're going underground and we're doing it. Mm-hmm. We're repenting for what's going on underground. We need to disarm the enemy. So that's why they're doing that. They're closer to the entities that they're invoking. And of course, it's in secret. But they have no resistance. The only resistance, you've got to remember this, the only resistance the enemy has is from me and you. And if we're not going underground, so to speak, and dealing with those issues and repenting for that, they have zero resistance and they know it. So it's time for the resistance, man. You know what I mean? It's time. It's
Hashtag time resistance.
No. Yeah. So now, you know, it's time to literally start repenting for what's going on under the ground in these tunnels, this, that, and the other. Disarm the enemy so that we can go after it. Now, it's awfully funny, too. I read an article where the military is literally training to start fighting underground because so much of that's going on underground right now globally.
Wow.
So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for everyone who didn't get the joke, hashtag resist is a Hillary Clinton thing, so don't join that, actually. But anyway, one thing, we have a couple more questions that I do want to get to from the audience, but one thing that I want to touch on was there's a lot of, and I think talking about underground kind of brought it up to my mind, because oil is underground. It's a terrible transition. But you wrote a lot about the oil issues, and it's starting to, with gas prices rising and the oil barrel rising, and Trump even talking to Saudi Arabia saying, hey, why don't you pump more oil? What's going on there?
Well, I wrote a couple of prophecies, actually. One was energy, and it talked about being energy independent. And then another one said a sign will be given with a volcanic eruption. The Lord told me it would be Sumatra. I didn't put that in the prophecy, which I probably should have. I did not. But that volcano has just erupted about 2 or 3 months ago. And a sign was given. If you go back and look at the video on YouTube of that Sumatra eruption, there's trumpet flowers right there as it's going. So that was kind of a sign to me that this was definitely what I was hearing. Mm-hmm. So, and they just came out with an article, a bunch of articles now, saying that America is fixing to be the number one oil producer in the world, I think in another year or so. But there's something to do with when the president declares that America's energy independent, it will be like a shot heard across the world. There's something to do when he declares that, all bets are off at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's when America, I believe, is going to prosper like never before. And we have one of my business partners is an oil guy. He's a geologist, oil guy down in Texas. And he even told me, he said, Mark, all that stuff that Obama did when he wouldn't sign the permits, you know, everything went to South America, Central America, all those rigs are on their way back here right now as we speak. So everything's being loosened up right now. The Permian Basin, you've got the pipeline's been released. ANWR's been released. All these things are being released right now off the coast of California, the drilling rights. I mean, all this stuff, man, is just fixing to go through the roof, man.
It's going to be great, and it'll be hopefully be able to correct some of that debt that we have to get America back in good graces on all fronts.
Absolutely.
All right, so we got a next question. This one is from the real Buddy B. It's talking about the Supreme Court. Obviously, there has been stuff on the Supreme Court that we talked about. You predicted that three judges would be involved in a scandal. However, from discussions from QAnon, the research, and many mass resignations have happened lately, and the deep state are trying to take the easy way out. Do you believe that Kennedy is one of those three involved in the scandals because he retired?
Now, see, that's the thing I don't know. That's the part I do not know. Again, watch for the retirements, the resignations, whatever the case may be. That's like we talked about earlier. It mm-hmm. could be that he's part of it. We're never going to hear about what happened. But there is corruption on that court. Make no mistake about it. Again, I don't know if he is a part of that or not.
Okay, cool. Very good. And then this one's from True Lucero. She asked a lot of questions, but I like that. So she was basically asking, she says that she really likes what you do and she appreciates you, and she's wondering if you have ever met President Trump or if you have any plans on meeting Trump.
I've never met President Trump. I've never spoken to President Trump. If there are plans for me to meet President Trump, it is totally in God's hands. I would love to meet him one day. I think I would be honored to meet him. Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
Obviously, you have no way of knowing this, but do you think that he's heard about your book and your movie and things like that?
I was told he was given the book, so I never got that confirmed, but I was told he was given the book. I'm pretty sure he's going to know the movie's coming out because this mm-hmm. thing's going to be so controversial because there's some stuff leading up to all of this. It's going to be controversial. Mm-hmm. It's going to be heard. So
yeah, that's always good.
The movie's not controversial, but it'll be controversial in the enemy's eyes. Let's put it that way, because it already is. Mm-hmm. We're already getting attacked for it.
Will they say bad publicity is still good publicity or something like that?
Controversy sells, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this one's way off topic. I don't think we've ever talked about this before, but the Roman Empire asks, what do you think about giants?
They're big. I don't know. Oh, yeah, I'm not saying it to be sarcastic. I don't know. Honestly, I really don't.
You haven't put much thought into that topic at all?
No, I have not. Is he talking about the Nephilim or?
Yeah, things like that.
I leave that to guys like Tom Horn. Mm-hmm. That's their specialty. You know, God's not shown me anything on that. You know, and that's one of the other things, too, about me is I try not to get off topic of what God has me doing right now. Because mm-hmm. if I start going in an area that I don't belong, then it takes me away from what God wants me doing. Mm-hmm. So God has not spoken to me a lot about the giants or the Nephilim for that fact.
Mm-hmm. Hey, at least when you don't know much about a topic, you still speak truth about it. Giants are big. Right. That's it.
That's right.
All right. So Bill Maple, how much time we got left? I don't want to go over too much. Oh, we're running out of time here, but let's see here. Well, there's only a couple more. So Bill Maple says, Mark, we're all very anxious about for this all to be done and over with and want to finally see God's justice carried out against the enemies. Do you think God will give us a divine heads up before he breaks all this loose? My thoughts are basically it's just going to happen one day, and I expect to wake up with thousands of arrests overnight. So do you think we're going to get
that? I think he's probably spot on that. I don't think you're going to know it's coming. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. I'm not prophesying this, so don't hold me to this. Again, I think you're just probably going to wake up and it's just going to be wham. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's all in God's hands, how he wants to handle it. I would just say be prepared now because it could get rocky and it may take a while for things to settle down. So just put your seatbelts on, mm-hmm. Be patient. There is a huge plan in place like Q talks about, mm-hmm. and people say, well, are you a Q follower? Yeah. Where we go one, we go all, I think there's a huge plan in place, so we just got to sit back and do our job as the army of God, and God will do his.
Absolutely. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. There has been a couple archaeological discoveries. One, there was a tablet in Greece found, which basically was Homer's Odyssey, a few verses from that was dug up. And there's also a tomb discovered in Alexandria of an ancient sarcophagus. Do you think either of those are tied to that prophecy about the discovery?
You know, I don't know. I didn't hear about the first one, but I did hear about the second one. I haven't read an article on it yet, but I just caught the headlines on it, and it kind of made me wonder, okay, is this part of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people ask me all the time, what do you think it is? Is it the Ark of the Covenant or you know, something like that? And I was like, look, I don't know. It could be relics. It could be – I can tell you what I sense. I'm not prophesying this. I can tell you what I sense.
Mm-hmm.
I sense it's probably – it could be both. But I think it's going to be along the lines of maybe manuscripts, scrolls, debunking some theology stuff, some wrong theology that we've had all these years or decades or centuries, whatever the case may be. I think you're going to find some things that have been hidden from us, stuff like that. I mean, stuff that's going to be so cataclysmic because we thought it was one way and when in fact it was another. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something that will confirm that. Something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be cool. I just saw those two things. It's again, like when I'm preparing for you to come on the show, it's always like things in the news pop up that line up right up with you. It's like a perfect timing always. All right, and then we talked about the volcano situation a little bit already, so we need to go into that. And then, do you know... I don't know how this whole prophecy thing works with God revealing things to you or not, but do you feel like God's going to be revealing anything more to you coming up here in the future?
I think so. When I wrote that All Roads Lead to Rome prophecy, the Lord told me that would be the last one for a little bit. I don't know if he'll give me, you know, I'm just not one, you know, it's strange, Sam, because I get emails from people all the time like, hey, you haven't prophesied something in a long time. It's like, look, folks, I don't put this stuff out on a conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not the way it works with me. I operate totally differently than most people. I don't know of anybody else that really operates like I do. You know, God's working with me on something now. You know, I'm not going to go into it because I don't release something unless, you know, God's ready to. But I'm working on some stuff now. Now, when God decides to release that, I don't know. It took me a year to release All Roads Lead to Rome, because the Lord had been dealing with me on that archaeological find. I was even working with Tom Horn on that one a little bit, because, you know, I sent that to him like almost a year ago, that part of the prophecy about the archaeological find, because I thought I had something to do with him, and it still may. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I operate differently. God will start giving me something. I'll start making bullet points, taking notes, and it takes me 3-4 weeks sometimes to write a prophecy. I mean, it took me a year to put that one together, you know, I mean, and then it's the time, okay, do I release it now or do I sit on it for a little bit? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things where I just don't, I guess, and there's nothing wrong with this. I'm not condemning anybody for this, but most people, I'll probably say 98% of the people out there, they'll grab a microphone and they'll start prophesying right there. That's not me. That's not how I operate. I operate differently, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious on the process, I guess. So can you just walk us through the process of when you feel like God is telling you to say something and then all of a sudden you release it? Like, what is the steps? Like, you just get like a feeling or what happens?
Yeah, it's you know, Jeremiah said it's like a fire burning in his bones, right? Before he had to release it, right? It's kind of like that with me, but it's not. For me, it's not a fire burning in my bones. It's almost like this pressure that builds in a pressure cooker. And it's like when I was doing the America prophecy, which probably one of the longest prophecies I've done, or the Trump prophecy, because if you notice, my prophecies are more short, sweet, and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets to the point. You know what I mean? There's no fluff. And so, that's just, again, that's the way God works with me. But I'll be walking around, God will give me something, and I'll start meditating on it. I'll write it down as a bullet point or a note. And then, you know, that day or 2 days later, he gives me something else, I write it down. And this pressure starts building. And like for America, it took me 4 weeks to write that prophecy. And finally, when I get to a point on my notes where I feel like I can't take it anymore, like that pressure, and then now I know it's time to sit down and write it out. So I start writing it out, and as I'm writing it out, the Holy Spirit will say, no, don't put that there, put this here. And then when I turn around on my computer to write it on my computer, on my Word document, he'll even edit it some more as I'm doing that. And so I'll write it out, and then I've gotten to the point now that when I read something, I realize the flow of it, I know it's done. It's like, okay, what do I do with this now? Do I sit on it? Do I release it? That type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the way it works with me.
Very interesting. Yeah, I've always been curious about that. So that's, so we're all the way done now. We had some great guest questions and a great conversation. Is there anything that you would like to end the show with that you feel like that God's put on your heart?
Get out and vote in the midterms. This is going to be one of the most critical elections for the president, because he has to have the support, because when those arrests take place, he's got to have the support of Congress. You know, I think this is going to be the largest turnover in American history, because we've had a huge amount of resignations. Nobody's hearing about them again. You know what I mean? So, you got people like Paul Ryan aren't running again. You got to ask yourself, why is this? Because they've got stuff on him. But get out and vote. You know, watch for the voter fraud. If you can ask for a paper ballot, do the paper ballot type thing. The main thing is get in the fight, man. Get off your behind. Get on the front line. Get involved somewhere. We gave some ideas what you can do to get involved. Right now, it's important. It's cataclysmic, really, at this point, to get involved in doing something in these prayer groups. So I highly encourage people to do that. You know what I mean? Start your own prayer group. Start your own prayer call or home church, whatever the case may be. Start repenting. Do historical research. Look at that video. If you can put a link to that video in your, if you don't mind, that way it will help people so that they can understand and go line by line. Because we have to be prepared when Roe versus Wade goes down, it's going to go to a state level. So we got to be prepared for that ahead of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely got to be involved, and I will make sure I put links to all of those things. At least I will try to remember. I'm forgetful sometimes, so I apologize for that. But I will try to remember to do that. But anyway, Mark, thank you so much for coming on the Sharpen Report. It is always fantastic to have you.
Brother, it's always a blessing and an honor to be here. Thank you for having me, and I thank you, brother, for what you do for the kingdom of God.
Well, it's... As you will say, I'm sure it's a joy to be chosen to do such a wonderful job for the kingdom. So that's our show today, guys. Again, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of things you have to keep an eye on. But always, always remember that we are the light of the world. We are called to be the salt of the earth, that we have to be the ones out there and ready to fight and ready to rescue people and not always attack people based on these certain theological issues, but be ready to rescue them and show them the love of Christ. Is your foundation in the love of Christ, or is it in your own ideas? Because if it's in your own ideas, you're just going to divide people and you're going to pull them apart, and it's not going to be useful. Again, we are the light. We are searching for truth. Even though the enemy may hate us and know this video is going to be stolen and re-uploaded, I hope that the people hear the message, and I hope that it is what people need to hear. We can take back our country, take back our world, stop the evil that's going forward, and bring glory to God in all things. Guys, I'm not going to ask you to like, subscribe, or share, but you know I appreciate it if you do. That's our show this week. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope they have a great week. There's that.
All right, when are you going to release this, brother? I'll put it on my... can you send it to me, and I'll put it on my Facebook page and stuff?
Yes, it's...
That way I can get you some more hits.
Probably Friday.
Friday?
Yeah.
Friday afternoon or Friday night? Or?
I usually post it around 5:30 evening.
So 5:30 in the evening, that means Right Wing Watch will have it out about 9:30 that night.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll have a hit piece out on me in about 3 hours after that.
Yeah, maybe so this time they'll mention my name.
Hey, there you go. Hey, this will be 4 in 2 weeks. I'll be having hit pieces on.
Whoa, a new record.
A new record, man. A new record. So let me know, man.
All right.